Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is Will Miller of Firaxis fame.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. We're running solo again on this show. No Justin Fick. He's at work all the time. What are we supposed to do with this kid?
Well, to be fair, we are recording at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
5 o'clock, happy hour. I wish drinking was more audible, so that would have been funnier. So we got to, before we get to you guys, all right, you'll notice there's a hole in your feed, or there may be a hole, depending on how facts play out.
The astute of you will notice that there is no episode 47,
right.
Only an episode 48.
It goes 46 48. And then 48.
What
now,
happened?
Some of you may be wondering, what happened to 47? Well, our audio editor, Lucas, decided to come on the show with us. And I love Lucas, all right, but he came on the show, and it just... Not to hate on him, but he wasn't that funny. You know, I don't know. The vibe wasn't there. He made jokes, and they weren't really funny. Am I supposed to force laughter? You know, I didn't. So it was a little awkward.
What is this?
That's probably him calling
me
now.
Is this clown hour right now? Turn your phone off before we record.
You don't have your fucking phone off either.
Dude, I do too.
All right, well, look. All right. Here, let me turn it off now. Oh, shit. You have to unlock it first? Look. All right, Lucas. He came on the show, and we sort of busted on him because he wasn't that funny. And then he said he refuses to edit episode 47. Now, so as soon as he wants to get his fucking panties out of a wad, you guys can hear episode 47.
Yeah, we're gonna leave it up to him. We're gonna edit that show, and
no,
we'll keep it.
Who?
Okay.
I am not editing that show.
All right. No one will edit that show until Lucas decides to do it.
When Lucas
and
wants
it.
To man up and stop being a bitch. It's waiting for you. You already got the files, buddy.
All right. We're going to play a little good cop, bad cop here. Blake sat down with me last night and said, we got two options.
Right.
We can either fire Lucas because he displeased us, which, you know,
I mean,
you displease the
time.
Trifecta.
I'm sorry,
sometimes
maybe
that,
it's time.
Sometimes it happens. Or we can, you know, leave it be. We'll tell you guys about it and then let the forum monglers sort it out.
Hey, and maybe somebody on the forums wants to edit it. If that's the case, fine. You know, get in touch with Lucas. What's his email? I don't know. Find him in the forum. What's his Soundwave or something?
I don't know.
I don't know. You'll find Poing Jam.
But
that's his name.
But anyway, I mean, if you're going to be on the air with us, all right, you have to have some tough skin. I can't tell you how many emails and phone calls and instant messages Blake gets about being fat and dumb. And sometimes people don't even remember my name on the show. All right, and that's just how it goes, baby.
Look, that's how it works. Like it or not, that's what you get. All right, so Lucas, we're sorry we took a dump on you, but that's how it works.
That's how it works. So anyway, we do appreciate what you do for us, Lucas. We ain't gonna fire you. All right,
yet.
But you know, look, you go back a long way, and we appreciate you. But if you're gonna be on the show, look, you can't be a target because we're gonna shoot at it. Okay.
All right. So this is your best damn podcast ever for. Let's call it the 4th of July, 2009. All right, we got a bunch of stories this week in the news. I'm talking about John Carmack, Michael Jackson, Serious Sam, Dream Killer, and Gunstar Heroes. What about you, William Miller?
Let me get my wiki up.
Ain't nothing in there.
All right. Squaresoft has released some dumb mess that I'm probably going to buy. And Xbox 360 is about to have some advertisements for us to play with.
Oh, boy. I love the Xbox. Dude, I fucking hate the, you know, look, some of them play sound now. You're not on the Xbox much, but, you know.
No,
they're
not.
Talking to me now. They got little videos in them. I'm sorry. I thought I was paying $60 a year, so I didn't have to see this. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. All right, first up, we got Gunstar Heroes came out on the Xbox 360. I'm looking at a review here on Kotaku. They're like, oh, it's a solid game, blah, blah, blah. That game sucks dick. That's it. That's all I want to say.
That's too
fucking hard. I was sitting down with Fick like last week to play it. We couldn't even, two of us together, and we're both fairly good at games. We could not beat, I think, the second or third level. Whichever was the one is on the train. We couldn't beat it.
That's ridiculous. Have you seen Justin Fick's gamer score? Now, I know Blake Buck is good,
no,
but Justin
exactly.
Fick, oh my God, if he can't play a game,
right,
it's
exactly.
too hard for
Who
him.
Who are they fucking making this game for? So, just to get that out of the way, Gunstar Heroes on Xbox sucks dick. Continue, William.
All right, so a couple days ago, my extrasensory perception, my spider sense, started to tingle. And that only happens.
Uh-oh, your hemorrhoids flaring.
That only happens two reasons. My hemorrhoids are flaring, or Squaresoft is about to do something stupid.
That happened. That should be happening every couple of weeks.
Every couple of weeks, it goes off. My nips start twittering. All right. So they put up a site a couple days ago that was a countdown site. Now, first of all, okay. I think countdown sites are retarded. All right. Like Kojima put one up for the new Metal Gear thing.
We were running one for a while on the site. We were going to be. Remember when I was counting down? I was counting down the days till the new show until somebody took a big dump on it and didn't want to put it together. So that's what happened to that countdown.
Right. Now, we can do it because...
We're the lords of gaming.
That's right.
Duh.
But everybody else is not allowed... It's kind of like online internet petitions. You're not allowed to do those. Okay. Anyway, they put this thing up and they have this like picture that's slowly being drawn, right? First it's a dragon, and then it's a dude on the dragon, then it's a chick on the dragon, and then there are two other dudes on the dragon, and it's going to be Final Fantasy... what is it? Final Fantasy... I said Crystal.
I thought you were going to say Kryptonite.
It might as well be. Final Fantasy, the Light Warriors on the Nintendo DS.
Okay.
I'm going to eat it up. Nom, nom, nom.
Look, I don't understand why you like Final Fantasy. It's bullshit. It's the same thing. Like, they're so done. Like, how many times have they rehashed the sprites from Tactics? That's exactly what all these games are.
Okay, but first of all, have you played the iPhone Crystal Chronicle?
Yeah, okay.
Tower defense.
People
right.
say it's good. Yeah, well,
have you
a
played?
Lot of girls have said my dick is big too, and guess what?
It ain't.
Dude, why'd I say my? I should have said your. I'm stupid.
Have you played that game?
No, I heard it was.
It
I,
is.
But...
The first one is okay. The second one, amazing.
All right.
Justin Fick.
Tower defense is amazing. Ooh, what's next? A game where you jump over pits? Let's call it Pit Jumper.
Okay, Blake. It was you that said there are two kinds of games in this world.
Games that innovate and games that refine.
That's right.
And so it's neither. It rehashes.
All right.
I got it.
That's a discussion for another day, but leave it to that. I mean, new Nintendo DS title, a throwback to the original Final Fantasy on the Nintendo. So we'll see how that works. The art looks good. I'm going to buy it and I'm going to play it. So that's that.
Look, I mean... Why do you have this undying loyalty to Squaresoft that I don't understand? Guess what? The talent in The talent in Squaresoft to me dried up around the end of the PlayStation 1. That was it. It's all gone after that.
And I'll tell you, I don't play anything by Squaresoft that doesn't either reflect something they did before PlayStation 1 or is actually something they did before PlayStation 1. Like Final Fantasy 10, 11, 12,
yeah,
I didn't play any of those.
How many people do you know like, man, Final Fantasy 10 was good, but then they made 10-2? Oh my God, if they made a Final Fantasy 10-3, it'd be over.
I think it goes back to, you were saying the other day, that everything you did or played when you were 13 is like automatically awesome. Now it's a little bit of that, but it's a lot of it's a lot of old Squaresoft being awesome, new Squaresoft being dumb.
Well, I think by the time the PlayStation 2 came around, there are a lot of different companies that are doing what Squaresoft did back in the PlayStation 1 era. You know, like, their games were so captivating at the time, and especially with, like, Final Fantasy 3, 6, Final Fantasy 7. Their games were so captivating because they had such good stories, you know, and were intriguing. And I think a lot of games have picked up, if it's something besides, not to, you know, not Duke Nukem, but if it's something besides, you know, shoot 'em up, players actually enjoy that. It's sort of like what made those games good has been spread out more thoroughly through the gaming industry.
Single
now.
Tier for Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem Forever can never be canceled. All right,
it's forever.
It's forever.
It's like 9/11. Never forget.
I never forgot the Duke. Man, he had a solid game on N64. The second one they made for N64. Something about going through time. I don't remember what it was good. I don't know if you heard about this, but. They're making a DJ Hero now. Who makes Guitar Hero?
It's Activision now.
Activision makes Guitar Hero.
NeverSoft is the
right.
developer Activision.
So, but essentially, Activision is making DJ Hero. There was another company about a year before they started making DJ Hero that was making a game called Scratch. Little known tip from a DJ. The company that they licensed Scratch through is also a turntable company. Look at that.
Oh.
See those new marks up there?
Company
that makes...
Same deal.
Makes the little peripheral. Anyway, so they bought this game called Scratch, And then they pretty much just put its funding to shit to put them out of business so DJ Hero could get more sales and they wouldn't be sort of undercut by a competitor. So they bought them and then sort of just flushed their project.
So wait. There are two DJ scratching tapes?
There are two DJ games coming out. Activision bought one and tried to essentially flush it in the toilet and, you know, cut its funding. Now all the employees that are working on it are suing them, and I believe of one, and the game is coming out, Scratch.
I actually have seen screenshots of that. It looks cool.
No, yeah, I think it's going to be cool, too. So, I don't know about it. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, I'm a fucking professional DJ now. You can call me up at 915. But, that's a radio station number I used to work at. But,
Go ahead, give it to him.
915-6692, but more importantly, I think these DJ games, because if you look at modern DJ now, I read an article about this. There's so much, computer and MIDI, you know, controllerism out there now, which is mostly what I do, that using buttons to play, you know, songs like you would in Guitar Hero, I mean, it's obviously still a long way from being a DJ, but the basic concepts are still there, so...
I think it's a great like gateway drug. Even Guitar Hero, you know, Guitar Hero is a great gateway drug into actual music, or exactly. Especially like if you play the drums, you actually learn how to play.
I think the relationship to real DJing to the game is a lot closer than Guitar Hero to a guitar.
You know, I have this theory, Blake Buck. I think that traditional music notation is an outdated medium. I think with technology, with the input devices we have, and with technology, we could create a different kind of interface, a different kind of notation for music that's much easier for people to understand and read.
Now, that's going to sound like I'm going out on a limb here.
All right.
I went to pitch to bars today. I went to about 30 bars.
Okay.
Got some leads, some not so hot. But you know what? I heard a couple of different answers when I went to pitch my DJ to bars. Number one, manager's not here, most common. Number two... we don't have DJs. We don't ever have DJs here. And number three is we only have live music. We don't have DJs. And it seems to me that obviously all DJs aren't the same. But when I play music, it's more of like a live instrument. But trying to convince somebody of that, you know, standing in the bar. I mean, how many years is it going to take before something like, you know, a controllerist on a deck is considered a real musical instrument, or somebody on a Guitar Hero playing like a real guitar, even though it's electronic? When is that going to be considered real music?
I don't know. I think that's coming with our generation, Blake Buck. When we're the bar owners of the world, we'll let Blake Bucks play.
If you would like to donate to Blake Buck's bar fund, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Another alternative would be to advertise on the Xbox 360. Coming your way very soon.
Oh, my ass is burning from that segue.
How about that? Coming your way very soon is advertisements on Xbox 360, courtesy of Microsoft's Silverlight technology. Now, if you're not in the know, all right, Silverlight is Microsoft's answer to Flash. And so it's like an interactive, distributed medium.
God.
Yeah, it's dumb. So not only will they be advertisements, but they'll be, and I'm air quoting here, interactive advertisements.
Okay. Yeah, okay, about as interactive as slamming my dick in a door. Who the fuck cares?
to be fair, that is pretty interactive. that's very proactive, actually.
Please insert dick here. Ooh, I bet this is going to be fun. Oh, shit. Door slam again. I don't know. I mean, I'm all about interactive ads. Certainly, the line is being breached. If you look at, like, Doritos has this big thing on. I keep seeing it on Xbox. Doritos is like, unlock the gamer experience, you know? And they have all these sort of, who was that a few months ago had a game? I don't remember who it was, but they made a game. I think it might have been Doritos as well. Some game with a T-Rex on XBLA. And God let us even begin to mention that fucking Yaris game they had on Xbox. Good Lord.
Now, this has been done right. You remember Sneak King?
Dude, do you remember Cool Spot?
Yes, I do.
So I think you're right. I think exactly. Sneak King, Cool Spot. I think there is a chance that games can be cool and advertise products at the same time. But this is very rarely done.
You know what's awesome about those games? They charged you for their advertisements.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. That's totally awesome.
At the same time, I got an Xbox game for like a dollar for Sneak King. Dude, yeah. What happened? That should have been like a yearly thing. Every year, Sneak King 2, Return of Sneak. Year three. Sneak King 3. Snake Fist.
Solid sneak.
Look, I'm telling you, somebody is going to make a ton of money. They're going to come up with a way to, like, pitch these ideas. Game developers are going to find ways, like, small developers find a way to pitch these ideas to big companies and advertisers. And you got your money, your whole money for your game bankrolled.
You know, I think that's been set back a couple years thanks to the death of Billy Mays.
I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson.
Well, Michael Jackson, too, but Billy Mays.
Like, I'm not buying anything ever because Michael's dead. That was the end of consumerism for me.
Oh, well, you know, Michael had a large contribution to video. He was a video game aficionado. He contributed a game himself and an appearance in two other games.
Oh, did you say so?
I did.
Because I'm here to talk to you today about Michael Jackson's involvement in games, which you would not believe is actually quite striking. I mean, a lot of celebrities say, oh, yeah, I'm into games. They play Halo, whatever. Michael Jackson, fairly involved in the games industry. Number one, he was a collector. They were going to auction off a whole bunch of his, like, amusements at this celebrity auction.
First of all, why aren't we at that auction?
Well, I guess it's canceled now because he's dead.
Well, they got to do something with that estate.
Well,
nobody wants that mess.
I'm sure it's been put on hold or whatever since then. But either way, I was looking through his collection. He probably owned upwards of, like, 100, maybe 150, 200 arcade machines. And they were all fairly solid titles. He liked had Mortal Kombat, you know, Soul Calibur, Crazy Taxi. Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of bullshit titles in there. If you go on Kotaku and search it, though, you can actually flip through the catalog and see what all he had. Not a bad collection.
Now, Blake, didn't you tell me that he had not one,
not two, three different versions of Crazy Taxi? That's a man after my own heart right there.
Yeah.
Not only that, to speak of his involvement of games, obviously he had Moonwalker, which came out on arcade and Genesis, where you starred as Michael Jackson.
That's right. You ran around side-scrolling, dancing.
It was like an isometric, you know.
No. It was side-scroller.
Wait. You're talking about the Genesis one.
I'm talking about the arcade one.
Oh,
I never played the arcade one. Do elaborate.
Well, it was kind of like...
Are you still saving children and shooting magic?
Yeah, pretty much, but it's all sort right. of like top-down. Oh, you could play as... I think the limit was two. For some reason, I think there might have been four player, but each Michael had a different colored suit. That's how you knew which one you were.
And there were monkeys in there somewhere. Like, I don't even remember.
Michael's battle plane.
That's right. The final level, Michael's battle plane. Now, this is all sort of loosely based on the movie that he made.
Oh, man.
We got to tell the story.
Oh, okay. So whenever I was in high school, okay, I went to a residential high school.
Both of us, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that's where me and William Miller met. It was the first time we had a homosexual experience. It was where me and William Miller met. And every weekend they would go to, since it was residential, we lived on campus. And every weekend they would go to the video store and they would ask if we wanted to rent anything, just like collectively the dorm. And you could write on a sheet or whatever, call up to the office and request something. Every single Friday night, I requested one film for the entire 2 years I was there. And that was Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
And they never were able to get it for us.
Sadly, Hollywood Video or Blockbuster or whoever. They never had it.
Finally, after many years, when I was in college, we downloaded Michael Jackson's Moonwalker and watched it.
Oh, it's such a classic. He turns it to like a car and then like into a Jaguar at the very end.
Into a robot, Michael.
Oh, my God. What an awesome movie.
It was pretty amazing.
So, if you're bored and drunk, check out Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, the movie. But also, his other involvement in games was not only did he star in that, he was not only in one Space Channel 5 game, he was in both Space Channel 5 1 and 2.
As Space Michael.
Space Michael. Fully rendered and has a voice recording in both games. And now in the first game, he just says, thank you, ooh la la, when you, like, save him. But in the second game, he's got, like, a whole little scene where you're talking to him. You do a dance number, like Thriller. Oh, my God, it is amazing. So, if you've got to check out Space Channel 5 Part 2 for some hardcore Michael Jackson action.
Those are great games, too, by the way.
They're hard as ass.
They are very hard, but they're very fun.
Especially the second one. Stops getting fun towards the end. Anyway, so moving on to my next article here. I got to talk about a little game that came out in, I believe, 2004. It was called Painkiller.
Now, I had Blake Buck describe Painkiller to me one time, and he described it as a series of rooms connected to each other. mm-hmm. with stuff to shoot in them.
It's essentially like Doom. Remember how Doom, you just ran through shooting shit, you grabbed a key, and then you opened a new door to shoot more shit? That was pretty much Painkiller. And even though it was a very simplistic game, it got a lot of acclaim when it came out, because it was very simple, sort of like Serious Sam, very pure, very concentrated. So, Painkiller was great. Then they made Painkiller Battle Out of Hell, which was the expansion pack. Then 2 years passed, I believe in 2000, maybe 7, 2006, somewhere in there. A company, I forget which company it was, but essentially the people who made Painkiller went bankrupt or whatever, or disbarred, and a group of fans on the internet got together and were like, you know what, we're going to make another expansion pack to this game. And they did, and it came out like in stores. I guess they got like whatever, you know, approval they needed. And it was called Painkiller Overdose, and it came out about maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
I remember Painkiller. That was a fan project?
Supposedly not as good, but all the members of that team were fans who then made, you know. So now that same team, the fan team, has a new game coming out. It is called Dream Killer. And it is essentially, it's the same sort of concept, except instead of, in the first game, you were an angel in purgatory that had to kill, like, demons.
Okay. All right. Satan elements.
Right. Got it. In this game, you are you're a woman, so it loses points, but you're a woman, and you're apparently a psychologist. You go into, like, serial killers' brains, and you have to fight their nightmares and their demons within.
You actually shoot them and stuff?
Yeah. Like, that's all the levels are, like, inside the mind. It's kind of like Psychonauts. Anyway, I don't know if you ever played that, but it had the same kind of angle. So, like, the art direction is real crazy. All the levels are real varied and stuff. Like, you can look at the screenshot I got right here. Wait a minute. Pull it up. Some sort of spider beast you're fighting. You get all sorts of crazy weapons. I give it total thumbs up. It looks awesome. And supposedly it's coming out, I believe, later this year on Xbox in October and PC. So that's what I'm talking about. Fan projects that make it all the way. And now they're a real developer.
That's pretty cool. All
right. I got, I got two more stories for you. One's really quick. Speaking of intense shooters, Serious Sam HD is coming to Xbox 360 and possibly PlayStation 3. For those of you who never played Serious Sam, in the same vein, intense shooter.
I see that screenshot over there.
I beat the original Serious Sam, and that's not a balk at.
I remember Blake Buck playing this game in high school, and it was cool because it had neat like multiplayer hot seat support. Like you could have... If your system had two monitors and two keyboards, you could like hook up one monitor to one view and one monitor to the other.
Yeah,
what
a cool fucking game.
Yeah, very, very neat.
So anyway, the first one, Serious Sam, the first encounter, is coming out soon on Xbox and possibly PS3 if they decide to approve that. And finally, I got a lot of shooter news this week. John Carmack has a big dick in the news this week. So they just came out with Doom Resurrection on the iPhone, which is a new Doom game. And I'll get to that in a minute. I got a little mini judgment for you. But essentially, he was talking to the press, and he just took a big dump on EA and their PR people. What did he say? Let me get the exact...
Look, you can't get mad. If you're EA, you cannot get mad at John Carmack because he can build a rocket ship into space. Can you do that? No.
I didn't think so. So, essentially, they had this game called Wolfenstein RPG. I think it's on other mobile platforms, but not iPhone. And so they were asking him, oh, why isn't it on iPhone yet? And he said, I was disappointed that EA decided to sit on it, but they kind of freaked out when we did Wolfenstein 3D Classic, a carefully planned thing. I just thought, hey, this is cool. Let's do it and let's release it. That blew their planned rollout. They were worried about selling people two Wolfenstein titles at once. Hopefully, they'll release it soon. So he just says whatever he wants.
That's awesome.
He releases whatever he wants.
He's a loose cannon.
And he doesn't have to take shit from anybody.
And apparently, he's not off the force.
You're off the... All right, you, all right. Just, you can stay.
Please stay. Don't go building rocket ships no more. Speaking of John Carmack, id Software was recently bought by ZeniMax.
Oh, I saw that. You know, John Romero had a quote not long ago.
Yeah, he's been Twittering about it.
Do you see what I got on my desktop right here? in case you don't know, John Romero ended his career with a magazine ad that said, John Romero's about to make you his bitch. Do you see what's at the bottom of the ad? It says, suck it down. Like, I guess they're trying to imply smack talk.
I guess
anyway,
so.
This is in reference to Daikatana. If you don't know anything about Daikatana, that is a wonderful story to read.
It is.
About the, like, misery of that game.
It
Wikipedia
is.
It sometime if you want a good laugh.
But anyway, yeah, Romero's Twittering like he thinks he's relevant still. Actually, they're cooking. He's cooking some big MMO game. At Steam
MMO,
Ironworks or something, I don't remember.
When you say MMO, you might as well say SHIT, because that's about how much I give a shit about MMOs these days.
But anyway, so I got a thing. Zenimax has a building right across from Firaxis, all right?
Oh, really?
Right across the street. We can see them out of our window, okay? And they got a big old sign on their building, which Blake can attest we do not have at our current location, right? And that's sad. And we've always thought, you know, they better not make that sign bigger now that they have id. But seriously, like, ZeniMax is kind of flown under the radar. When this purchase went down...
I don't understand. ZeniMax, they own...
They own Bethesda.
Bethesda.
Right. And they themselves, ZeniMax Online, is actually a developer. And, like, they've flown under the radar, but they're slowly building this, like, empire. And they're,
well, yeah, if you got
because,
fucking Doom, you're not a small player.
That's
anymore.
Right, because they self-publish. They're a publisher, and they publish all of their titles and stuff. They, you know, they published all of Bethesda's stuff. So it's like they're going to come out of nowhere as a power player in this industry pretty soon. And they better not make their sign bigger, because we're going to get mad. But anyway, we're hoping that John Carmack, we're going to catch him at the subway or something, hanging out.
John Carmack, you are a king. You are everything John Romero fails to be. So, that's your news. Sorry there's nothing about E3 this week. That was last week.
We did that, but you don't get to hear about it. Sorry.
Oh, shit. No, I don't remember what the next section is. I don't have the wiki in front of me. Oh, and now it's time for releases.
All right. This week in releases, we have... Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood, PC, Xbox 360, PS3.
Is it just me, or is it, like, I'm just so done with the Wild West video games at this point.
Now, I love the Wild West. What a great place to set a game. But all them games are the same. They're all, like, Fistful of Dollars knockoff game. That's all there are. You know, I've seen, it's a tired storyline, but I don't think it's necessarily a tired, like, setting for a game.
Maybe not, but I've played so many of those, I'm burnt out on them. But, let's see. Also, we got Marvel vs. Capcom 2 coming out on Xbox 360 and PS3. For those of you that have never played Marvel vs. Capcom 2, you're wondering what's the deal. All right. I played this game back on Dreamcast. I would argue this game is sort of the precursor in a lot of ways to Smash Brothers. It has very simple controls. All the moves for most of the characters are the same. But the style, the styling, and just like the moves themselves are so ridiculous. So over the top. It's not really like any Street Fighter game. It's almost more of a casual party game in my mind. Like, you press this button and shit just flies in off the side of the screen punching.
I love these Marvel and Capcom games because you can have, like, Juggernaut, who takes up two screens, like fighting Mega Man, who's real tiny.
Yeah.
And, like, somehow they make that work and they make it fun.
Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is the last, like, the truly greatest 2D fighting game of all time. I understand Street Fighter, you know, what is it, 4? They're on, okay, whatever. All right, but if we're talking about classic, old-school gaming, it doesn't get much better than Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
All right, we also got Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince for PC, Xbox 360, Wii, PS3, PSP, PS2, DS, and Mac. Well, we don't see that one very often, do we?
Well, it's Harry Potter, so anything...
Yeah, that's true.
Anything with a big movie title in it is going to get on.
I've been seeing trailers for the new Harry Potter.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so done with Harry Potter.
Dude.
Who's still like, ooh, what happens next?
Nobody's like that. But
Snape
listen,
kills Dumbledore.
But listen, the movies are like 10 bajillion times better than the books are.
I'm just done with
So if you even
thing.
Remotely liked the book, you know, I'm ready for that new movie. I'm ready.
I'm done with it. I'm done with this whole thing.
All right. Blake Buck is also done with Street Fighter 4. Coming out for
4.
PC this week. How do you play Street Fighter on a PC?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I'm gonna. I guess, I mean, I'm sure there are people who plug in sticks to it, you know, if you want to be real.
Yeah,
hardcore.
You'd have to.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to if you're already hardcore enough to buy it on the PC.
Do you remember when Mortal Kombat 2 came out on the PC? It was like a DOS game.
Oh, yeah, I fucking have that game.
Yeah. Because they had a shareware version. They had, like, two mans you could play.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that. All right, a couple other releases. I don't know, some boo-boo anime. Blaze Blue, Calamity Trigger. Oh, Lord. Mega Man Star Force 3 on DS.
Wait. Mega Man Star Force 3 Black Ace. What has happened to this franchise, honestly?
Like, what's Inafune, man?
Oh, man.
He should be turning over, I guess, his bed. He's not dead, but his fucking franchise is good. Lord. What was the last time a good Mega Man game came out?
Actually, the Mega Man Zero line was pretty good because they were hard as shit.
No, see,
these games are really tough.
I fucking hated Mega Man. I guess I was never really in their target market. It's either they make super hard, like, purist games, or they make these casual bullshit Let's Play anime nonsense. You know, ooh. I mean, have you seen some of these, like, Battle Force games they got where they're, you know, like, on the internet and they're, like,
yeah, it's like Pokemon's games.
Yeah, what the fuck? It ain't no Mega Man. Let's see. We also got two last releases. Infernal Hell's Vengeance on the Xbox 360. Infernal. Wait, is this... Which one is on the PlayStation? Which one am I... I'm not thinking of Infernal. What am I thinking
of?
I'm
thinking of Infamous.
Infamous. They got... The logo looks the same, though. I'm getting tricked. And Worms 2 Armageddon on the Xbox 360. I love Worms Armageddon. I love the original. I don't know if this is an exact copy of the Worms Armageddon original, but that game was pretty much the pinnacle of Worms.
We also have Mega Man Star Force 3 Red Joker.
Ooh, so either Black Ace or Red Joker.
Collect them all.
Blends combat action with Star Force's strategic battle system. Oh, my fucking God. I'm so fucking done with you. All right, turn these releases off.
Done. We're done with that.
All right, what time is it now? Is it Judgment? Is that what we do? It's time of Judgment. All right, this week on Judgment, I got a game for you guys. John Carmack's latest game, Doom Resurrection on the iPhone. Now, I bought this tape this morning. Now, I'll be honest, I've only played a level of it. So, my review could change. It's a little mini jank. But it's essentially Doom 3, not Doom 1, not Doom 2. It is Doom 3. It's not obviously not Doom 3 graphics, but the graphics are really, really good for the iPhone. Except it's not a regular Doom game. It's sort of a on-rail shooter. So you go around the levels and your dude walks for you. You aim with the accelerometer. So you kind of tilt it, and then you shoot with the button in the corner. You have to reload, you know, touch like items to pick them up and stuff. And it seems to be pretty cool so far. I played it with headphones, which is awesome. Because you can hear, you know, spooks coming up behind you, that sort of thing. Graphics are good. And in my book, rail shooters are awesome. I know some people look at this and they're like, I can't move this in Doom.
Oh, it's like Area 51. You ever play that game?
It's
sort of
like,
my God. You remember that when that tape came out? 3D on my TV, that tape.
3D on my TV. It's, fuck pinball, Mom. There's 3D on my TV. I don't want no more peace. I want to play my games. Where my roll of quarters at? Yeah, man, Area 51 with those. And they were real people.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have, like, real people motion. I guess not motion capture. I guess just, like, film.
Video, yeah. Green screen.
Yeah, they'd come up and they'd be like, oh, I'm going to shoot you.
I always loved that game because, like, civilians would come up in the strangest place. Like, you'd be in Area 51, right?
Yeah.
Toxic shit everywhere, like, alien spacecraft. And then, like, some secretary pops out of the... You know, the alien spacecraft's like, hoo! You can't shoot her.
They put their arms up, like, parallel to indicate that they are civilian.
Right, right.
And then when you shoot them, they wouldn't die. It would just put a big, like, no sign on it.
And they'd run away. Yeah.
What the fuck? Thanks a lot, like, me being 13. Bullshit.
I love those old games because when you boot them up, when you put that quarter in, the first thing you see is, don't do drugs.
Winners don't use drugs.
Yeah, right. And then you get to shooting aliens and shit.
That's why I've never done drugs.
No. Kept me off the streets.
Look, Area 51 said not to, all right? So, what the... Oh, fuck. Doom. Doom Resurrection. You know, I've played... It's got 8 levels. I played level 1, and it lasted maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes. I heard levels last from about, like, 15 to 20 minutes. So it's not a super long game, but the graphics are really good. Supposedly, co-op is coming. 2 people playing at the same time? That sounds cool. I dig rail shooters. I dig Doom. I dig John Carmack, who personally oversaw this project. I was reading about that online. He was essentially like, yeah, they show me a prototype, And in the original prototype, you had to tap on enemies to shoot them. He was like, yeah, so I saw that, and I went back to my room, and I was like, all right, that sucks. I'm going to tell them to cancel it tomorrow. And then the next day, they're like, oh, check out these accelerometer controls where, you know, kind of tilt. And he was like, done. Approved. Make it so. John Carmack says, make it so, and then games happen.
It's pretty awesome.
So, overall, it's $10, which is steep. But I'm all about, look, I talked to Freeverse, them clowns, just a couple of weeks ago. I'm all about getting prices on iPhone games up.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's going to stay at 99 cents, we're going to keep seeing the same bullshit casual games over and over. We should encourage developers to make bigger, more complicated games with a higher price tag. So if you want to keep playing Jewel Swap at 99 cents, that's fine. But when you want to step up and be a real gamer, all right, you're going to pay the $10 for Doom. Because it told you to.
Blakebug told you to.
That's right, bitch.
I got a little mini judgment. I downloaded the demo for this game, Trine. All right?
Uh-oh.
Trine. And you might think...
Is this on PlayStation?
It's on PC. They have a PC demo, but it's coming out for PSN.
Okay.
And it's a 3D side-scroller. So it's like that new game that they're working on for Xbox. Who's working on that game? I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You're talking about the thing on... you're talking about that kind of like Metroid thing
Metroid thing. Yeah, same sort of deal.
Epic is working on.
So 3D graphics, but 2D play surface, right? But it's this like classic hack and slash physics-based platforming game where you got three mans.
Okay.
You got your thief who can shoot arrows and like has a grappling hook. You got your cutting man who can cut and block with his shield. And then you got your wizard that can like levitate shit.
Okay.
And it's like this puzzling game, but it's fun with one player. But I got my buddies in there playing three-player with this thing. It is awesome. Let me tell you.
Really?
It's a gorgeous game. Very, very pretty game. And it's a lot of fun. The demo is pretty limited, but you can see how this game is going to be sweet on the console. So go download Trine, the demo. It's free. And then when that game comes out, be sure to check it out.
Awesome. All right. And now, let's see, what's next? I can't even remember. Jank of the Week. I ain't a winner. Got a
hot hand. Blake doesn't have any money.
I know. I haven't bought any games in a long time. Apparently, if you're unemployed, you can't buy video games.
He was going to buy Sims, that new Sims tape. He hadn't bought it yet because he's... I'm actually very astonished at Blake's fiscal discipline when he doesn't have any money. It's amazing.
Except for Doom. I got Sam and Doom.
Okay. Except for that.
Let me think. I got a jank. Well, there are a couple of iPhone janks. Well, I'll skip them. Who fucking cares?
Did anything come out on like PSN or... Oh, Final Fantasy VII, $10. Done. PSN, get it.
Dude, it's too big to fit on my PlayStation Portable, though.
I know, you got to get it. If you want to play on your PSP...
It's like 1047.
Yeah, if you want to play on your PSP, you got to get that big tape, put it in there. But it's just the experience is just as good on a TV if you turn on the smoothing and
no,
you have,
not.
Like, the nostalgia
no,
turned
it
on.
Not. No.
It looks fine.
It looks like ass.
Okay, it does look like ass.
My memories of that game have been... I was like, well, it's an old game, but I remember it looked fairly decent. No, that game looked like flying ass. Like, why do the characters look so stupid? Like, what are they... You know, like, his hand, right? You look at, like, Cloud's hand, and it gets real fucking tiny and then real big.
It's because he had to be able to emote.
Okay.
You had to be able to all see right. it. All right.
Yeah, graphics in the
They were approaching the modeling problem from the same perspective as they did sprites.
Why do the characters in the battle view look so much better than the characters in like the gameplay view?
The characters in the gameplay view had to be lower poly so they could fit more of them on the screen.
Well, you can have up to... I think you sometimes fight three enemies at once. You have three enemies in your party. That's six dudes.
Yeah, but you can have you can have a lot of NPCs on
the
screen.
Well, you know what? I would have sacrificed, you know, some NPCs on the screen to have them not look like fucking Duplo people.
All right, well, next time Squaresoft asks you to make an RPG,
yeah,
you can tell
them. Right in the fucking front door. I got all the answers.
You know, they got a studio in L.A. now.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Speaking of which, right. I believe that's a good segue to our discussion section.
All right, so if Lucas would be so kind as to cue up some patriotic music. It is the 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen.
Freebird.
Appropriate, yes. So it's the 4th of July.
Isn't that our national anthem?
If it's not, it should be. So we figured we would sort of... talk about how America, specifically, has come to dominate the game development landscape. Because it started in America, went to Japan for a long time, and then it's back, baby.
Now it's back.
So I have a theory as to when exactly this happened, but
I have a theory as well. It's probably much more simple.
All right. So Blake Buck, why don't you take us through a macro history of game development on the East and the West?
The year is 1964. Ralph Baer has invented his video computer machine. Using screen overlays placed on your television, it could seem like you're playing hockey. Or maybe you're playing tennis. Or maybe you need a basketball.
That's what that block is.
It may not have been 64, but it was sometime around then, all right? Later on, Nolan Bushnell claims he came up with the idea and founded Atari. Started making Pong, all American-based, because we had the computers, baby. You know why I'm going to keep coming back to this? Say America rocks.
America rocks.
That's why. All right? So America has the stronghold for the first part of the, I would say, definitely most of the 70s, though there's definitely some Japanese influence coming in the late 70s, early 80s from companies like Taito, and who were some other, I guess Sega was starting to come in at the time. We're talking about the arcades of the late 70s. So there were a handful of companies, but usually the Japanese developers never got that big until Pac-Man in 1985. Mm. Or no, I think it was about 82. Was it? Maybe I'm messing that up. But Pac-Man was huge, and it was made by Namco. And that was sort of the first huge American explosion of a Japanese game. Now, after this, several companies tried to market home consoles, including, you know, the Atari 2600, 5800. I can't remember the numbers. But eventually, their quality went to shit, and people stopped buying games.
Now, it's important to mention here that the quality went to shit because Atari did not have a very strict certification process.
Right.
Any joker in his basement can make a tape for that thing. And as a result, 60% of the tapes were shit.
Right. Essentially, you remember how some of you older gamers may remember how Nintendo had that little gold star on the package? That was a Nintendo seal of quality, which meant that product had met up to the standard set by Nintendo. Atari had a totally, I wouldn't say open, but no, I guess it was totally open.
It was just about.
Development platform. Yep. So
if you could manufacture the cartridge, you could sell it.
So this is about the year 1979, and by the year 1980, there were so many trash games on the market that were shit nobody cared about. The whole industry caved in on itself. And Atari wasn't the only one there. ColecoVision and Television all had systems, and they all sort of suffered from the same, you know, surge of shit games that sort of buried them, but maybe not the other two as much as Atari. So the games industry, at least console wise went dark for a few years, and it wasn't until a Japanese company in the year 1985 released a entertainment system. Now in Japan, this system was known as the Famicom, the family computer abbreviated, and it looked pretty much like Atari's old designs. Whereas in the United States...
Oh, wait. It didn't sport the wood paneling, which I still miss.
Wait, wood paneling? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. That thing had wood. That thing had wood fucking paneling. No, the Atari did.
Yeah, the Atari did.
Hell yeah, dude. I want my Xbox with wood paneling.
The slots loaded in the top. Remember,
that's
all
right.
The games on the Atari and the Famicom loaded in the top. That's
how
video games worked. When they brought the Nintendo Entertainment System... Notice how it doesn't say video game anywhere in there. Doesn't even say game. It looked more like a VCR. You push the games in, you popped them down, and you closed the lid. It was sort of a little, and they tried to market it as more of a computer when it came out. And after building up enough steam with games like, you know, Super Mario Brothers and that kind of thing, Nintendo finally was able to sort of recultivate the home market. All the while, now, keep in mind, arcades have still been going strong in America.
Also PC titles.
And PC has been going, but the home market was totally recultivated by Nintendo, a Japanese company. So the next couple waves of games were almost all entirely Japanese. You had, you know, what were the big companies back then? Namco was big in the early console days. Who else? You know, Nintendo, Squaresoft came into existence
Tecmo.
Around this time. Tecmo. They're all Japanese. And pretty much until about even, I mean, obviously you get into the Super Nintendo and the N64, there's much more Western influence. But for that early part from like 1985... I'd say all the way up into 1995, it was a Japanese-dominated industry.
And that brings us to the present. And I think that Blake Buck, your numbers are a little bit off.
Oh.
In terms of when it actually happened.
Well,
I have a theory that the final nail in the coffin, when it flipped from red to blue,
right,
was Halo.
Halo.
Halo was the power seller for the Xbox game console. Had it not been for Halo, the market saturation of that platform and the Xbox 360 would not have been there to support American developers making games for
the
system.
I guess, but at the same time, the PlayStation 2 still had a huge American developer base.
It did, but it was
I would
was
almost
a,
even say by the middle of its life cycle. Hell, even the beginning of its life cycle. Keep in mind, PlayStation 2 didn't come out till... PlayStation 2 came out in 1999, maybe 2000. Xbox came out in 2000.
That's true, but even if we had half of the developers for the PS2 working on games were American developers, when you have the Xbox that saturates the market, especially the 360 that saturates the market, where like 90% of the people making games for it are American, that was it. That was when it happened. Had Halo not come out and propelled that system to its heights, we would still be, you know, running consoles in our living rooms made by Japanese companies.
I thought you were going to say playing boo-boo anime games.
Well, that too. But we would not have the American market would not be as evolved as it is
now.
Well,
that's a good point. But you know why I think America now dominates the console industry?
America rocks!
Thank you! You don't need no technical answer. Have you seen our flag, baby?
Have you watched Eraser starring Arnold Schwarzenegger? Case in point.
Have you ever drank a beer? Have you ever punched somebody in the dick? Point America. Thank you. So I think you're definitely right. In fact, most Japanese developers today most Japanese developers in America are either totally Western-oriented or non-existent. I mean, you look at... There are a couple of holdouts. Squaresoft still has a smaller... Well, I say smaller market. I think they're a smaller market now.
But even Squaresoft, who is essentially the EA of Japan, like, they have not only games division, but also, like, publishing companies and all kinds of shit. Even they have set up a studio in Los Angeles, which is, like, investigating how to cater their games to Western audiences because it is the biggest market.
And look at a company like Keiji Inafune, who's at Capcom.
Right.
Capcom almost solely develops for the Western market now. Look at the past couple of releases. Devil May Cry, totally Western-oriented game. Bionic Commando, totally Western-oriented game. Look at Inafune's games himself. Dead Rising?
Yep.
I mean, hello. What else has he done? What was the other one he did? Oh, Lost Planet? You've got a traditional Japanese developer making totally Western games. Or developers like Team Ninja, you know, with, what the fuck, Ninja Gaiden. I hate that game.
Ninja Gaiden. I think another thing to illustrate here is sort of the divergence of what players in each side of the world are playing. In America, we play big box titles on our consoles at home.
That's
in
true.
Japan, it's very much a handheld market. And I think Nintendo has been real smart about catering to them. And in that space, they still hold a very strong, you know, portion of that market.
Dude, they lost it all to Monster Hunter. Everybody over there is playing that damn Monster Hunter.
We got to get that tape.
I played Monster Hunter. I'm like, what's the deal? I played this. It's called Pokemon.
That's because you ain't got no friends.
Came out 20 years ago, I think.
20?
So it seems like, yeah, I think that the lines have been drawn in the sand, and it seems like mostly a difference of taste because there's so many developers now. I think that's the real difference. There are so many developers now and so many different kinds of games that you know, whereas before you only had Nintendo making Nintendo tapes and that was pretty much it. We've got so many developers now that they can cater specifically to what the tastes are. And because America's a big market, a lot of gaming gets catered to American tastes, which is why a lot of Japanese developers are becoming more American-centric.
And I also think that the development, this transition in market share and demographics is also a story of globalization. Like, you remember when it took 6 to 8 months to get your Final Fantasy tape. I remember waiting for Chrono Trigger, going to Walmart every day and crying because it wasn't there, all right? And I've been looking at pictures of it in magazines for months, and it wasn't there. I'm still bitter about this. But now, it's like simultaneous release. If you can't ship a localized version, like, the same week you put out your game, you're fucked.
You know? 'Cause games are for real now, dog.
That's right, baby.
No joke. This industry makes more money than, like, I was going to say movies and TV combined. Probably not. But definitely more than any other entertainment medium, you know, individually.
If that's not true, it's pretty close.
I mean, the price of entry alone is just a factor to consider. And almost everybody's playing games now, which is why it sucks a lot of the times.
That's right.
Why is Sally Spa number one in the App Store on the iPhone? Who the fuck wants to play Sally Spa?
And what the fuck is Koi Fish Pond? What the fuck is that? What is that a game?
I'm gonna tap my fish.
Is that an app? Like, what the hell is that? What is that? Somebody tell me, please.
Nobody wants that. If you got it, shame on you. Don't send us an email. Shame on you.
I don't
send an email to yourself. Here's what you write. Shame on you.
No. I know a lot of y'all out there. You got your iPhone. That's the first thing you saw in that app store. You tapped it and it bought it and it was amazing. Shame on you. I didn't buy that.
I tell you what, forward this to your friend. Shame on you.
That's right. Push notification, that shit.
So what does the future hold for Japanese and American game development?
Well, I think that the Japanese market, again, has sort of become a handheld market, and it will continue to be so. And, I they're not as focused over there on console, revs. Right.
So I think the PlayStation, what is it, the little new guy? What's his name?
The PSP Go.
PSP Go. That's going to be huge.
That's going to be huge. I think we're going to see the Nintendo DS a player for a really, really long time over there.
It's going to turn into that damn micro.
That's right. I'm not even going to be able to see it anymore. But I think you're going to see the traditional Japanese-style role-playing games and Japanese adventure games and things like that on those consoles. But for the majority of what we see over here that's not handheld, I think it's going to be all Western-oriented because that's where the money is.
And I feel like I've lost my touch. I used to be so into RPGs. You know, I used to play Final Fantasy. Every one that came out, I would buy, and I would religiously play it and sit down. And not just like casual. I mean, I would sit down. I'd make it a fucking day, and I would look at the thing, and it was real, you know? And now it's like, a new Final Fantasy comes out. I guess I'll get it.
Well, you know? Also
have I been eating so much bacon here in America, I've forgotten my Japanese roots?
Well, I think that those games have not seen a whole lot of innovation over the years. I mean, we've seen new systems introduced, and especially
new... Well, they have shooters, but I'm still into shooters.
Yeah, that's true. But, well, even those, I mean, those have become homogenous, just like the Japanese role-playing games. I mean, it is a genre. It's like a comedy or, you know, a horror movie. Sometimes your tastes just change, I guess.
Maybe so. You know what I bet it really is, though?
What?
You know why I bet the reason this happened?
What? America rocks!
Yeah! It's time for feedback. No, it ain't. I don't want to read this. We did this last week.
Just pick one at random.
Okay. Lol, what is the subject? Oh, this is about that Saturday show. Let's skip that one.
You don't get to hear about that.
Okay. Our one email this week comes from Calix. This was sent like 3 months ago. Feedback heat. I just thought I'd let you all know I found your tube gameplay to be quite correct, but on the subject of stories and games. Wait, what? Did I read that right? I just thought I'd let you know I found your talk about tube gameplay to be quite correct, but on the subject of stories and games.
He's talking about the burnout style of game design.
Oh, right. I can't read real well from here. I can't read behind this mic.
I can't even see that.
Shit. Okay. While it's true that a lot of them, game stories rely on twist, i.e. KOTOR, spoiler alert.
You dark. Bam!
You thought you was light?
I ain't playing that game. I'm done. Done that game.
That at best can be somewhat jarring, and at other times I can't do this. I'm trying to hold my beer. All right. Oh, fuck. Okay. Oh, now I can read. While it's true a lot of them game stores rely on twist, i.e. KOTOR, it can sometimes be somewhat jarring, and other times a butt fucked the existing plot. However, I heard Blake reference Mass Effect, and in this end, as a BioWare fanboy over here shitting his pants, I thought I'd let you know that there actually isn't any major plot twists in Mass Effect storyline. All that happened is the natural progression of the story. Yeah, there are... Now, I beat Mass Effect. There is a little bit of a twist, but not to the degree of Knights of the Old Republic. And on the BioWare fanboy note, the thing about the good tube, evil tube thing is very true. Yeah, totally.
Good tube, evil tube.
What's that new game? Everyone's like, you can make so many choices. Well, Infernus... Infamous. Engulf, whatever the fuck it's called.
Infernus.
First of all, I can't even say about Sucker Punch. I love Sucker Punch's games. They make Sly Cooper. They make Rocket Robot on Wheels. I love those fucking games. Dude, what is it called? Infernus? Infamous.
Infamous.
That game sucks. Because it follows the same formula. Oh, if I'm good, I'm going to save people. And if I'm bad, I'm going to shoot them. Get it? Ooh, choice. You can do whatever you want, as long as it's one of these two. That said, it does look as though BioWare is at least trying to get away from the whole black... The whole... it says black and white choice, but it says Blake and white choice. Particularly in their new game coming out, Dragon Age Origins. Oh, no. Dude, Kalix, you got tricked. That marketing has tricked you into thinking that Dragon Age game ain't gonna suck dick. I'm sorry, buddy.
They were so pretty in advertisements.
Dude, seriously, you saw it and you were like, ooh, there's a hero fighting dragons? Tell me more about this classic gaming gem. So, yeah, it's totally true. Like, okay, now, not to wax poetic. I hate to talk about TV, but William Miller got me watching Battlestar Galactica. All right, now, fuck you. I know it's called Battlestar Galactica Eat a Dick. All right, now I'm a fag for watching it. But you watch that show, there are compelling choices. Characters are put in positions where they have to make hard choices. Because guess what? In real life, it's not, do you want to shoot this civilian or save them? That never happens in real life. Game story writing going to reach the level of like TV and film story writing?
Well, the thing about
it's obviously going to be fucking decades at where we're at now.
The thing that makes Battlestar Galactica so good is ambiguity of morality.
Right.
The problem with games is there's no ambiguity in morality. Either you good or you bad, depending on the choice you make.
It's bullshit.
But in Battlestar Galactica, very few of those predicaments, and this is true of a lot of stories, but very few of the predicaments in BSG are like neither one of the choices are necessarily wrong choices.
Right.
But each one has consequences that you have to deal with.
Right.
And that's
make a game that talks about that instead of do you want to punch this dude in the dick or rescue him from a fire? All right, so there's your one email this week. Thank you. If you like, send us an email. It's feedback@bestmpodcastever.com or call us up. We prefer phone calls. 845-BATTLE-9. I do have to pay for that line, so we might as well start fucking using it. All right, let's see what else we got. Oh, it's time for Stump. Ooh, I got a stump. I just thought I might have even said this before. It's hard to remember.
All right, go.
I believe the name of this game is called... it's called... Oh, fuck. I think it was Busby.
Busby.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Busby. It was either that or Bugsy. I think it was Busby. B-U-S-B-Y.
All right, well, you a bug. No, I got this. I got this. You a bug.
Okay, what do you do?
It's a turn-based tactical strategy game.
You say that for anything you don't know. Turn-based tactical strategy
game. You have lots of different kinds of bugs, and those are your jobs. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you run around.
Okay, wrong. Busby. I said it was Busby, and maybe Bugsy, but I think it was Busby. It was like a Sonic clone that came out on Super Nintendo. You remember how Sonic, he ran real fast, and Sega marketing claimed it was because of this thing called the Blaze processing. Well, I remember.
How come we don't have that anymore? Like now they don't bullshit you about
stuff.
Exactly. Like the last bullshit was the Emotion Engine on the PS2. Nobody cared about that shit. I want my I want my Xeon quad core processor.
Except for
my
only
512 RAM. Okay.
The only people that bullshit you now is Phantom, dude.
Oh fuck! Don't even get me started.
Dude, I love Phantom. I went to New York and what's his name? Mark Levin.
Yeah.
Wearing his Phantom never forget Phantom shirt.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
man. I'm telling you, we're gonna start one of those. We're gonna announce a game console.
You know what Phantom is? It's a Ponzi scheme. It's like, as long as we keep announcing new peripherals people can invest in.
Right.
And never stop and take people's money to pay back the other people's money. We can keep going forever and never
That's
release
what I'm
anything.
Saying. You and me are going to start one.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. There's a new game console coming out. We should probably not have put this so back to back with what we were just talking about. It's called Blakecast. And it's real good. It's 200 RAM. And it works great. Send your investments to donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com. All right, well, did Dad give you one? Oh, wait, did you give me one?
No.
Oh, you didn't think of one?
No, but I know the game, but I don't remember the name of it.
I bet I can still get it.
What is it? Go.
What the fuck?
All right. No. What? No, I got, okay.
Halo. Shit, you got it.
I'll give you a hint. How about that? No name, but a hint. If you can describe the game to me. This game came out like not even a month ago. All right? And it was made by History Channel.
Oh Lord. That sounds awful.
Okay, it's awesome, first of all. Clearly you don't know what it's about. Okay.
I clearly don't know all what this is.
You're Vikings.
Okay.
Alright. You're Vikings, it's a flash game. And you're Vikings and you have to invade.
Oh, flash games are video games now? Is that
Yeah, they're trying to make it seem that way.
You know, okay.
But anyway, this is a good game. You're Viking, and you have to like lead your Viking army against the English or whatever. But it's like a 2D game with a 3D tactical or 2D like.
You guys just like fucking saying tactical even. Whenever you can. You just want to.
You know what? Never mind. I know the people out there that have played this game.
Painkiller is a first-person tactical shooter. Ain't nothing tactical about that game.
America rocks!
Yeah! That does it for this week's show. If you want to send us any email, it's feedback@bestinpodcastever.com. Call us up at 845-BATTLE-9. Donate to us at donate@bestinpodcastever.com. You can find links to donate on the website in the show notes. Check out all the new heat on BigHotShow.com. I'm going to be posting some more blog posts. I got a couple videos sitting in the pipe. And I'm just going to put this out there. I really need to get somebody to like get... I have a whole bunch of content that's just sitting on the site. So if you want to help me get shit on the site, send me an email, buck@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Because I don't want to.
We lazy.
I make the funny. Somebody else puts it on the internet. Thanks to Lucas, if he's still editing, maybe not. everybody else, thank you guys for still listening, and we'll talk to you next week. So from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
America rocks!
And we will see you next time.